This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you. Now, I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio with each and every one of the listeners. We pray that you'd bless them, help them, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'd bless the children's homes, the mission work. Have your will and your way in all of it, Lord. We'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. We'd like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania, Bulgaria, where they feed the children daily. And if you would pray for all the mission work in that area in Romania, Bulgaria, Ukraine, and really all around the world. But these are the things that the Lord has placed in our heart, and we're thankful for that. We've been hearing good news from the missionaries, how the Lord is working and doing things in villages and people's hearts and moving into services, and we're grateful for that. And we're grateful for your prayers and financial support that you've put forth for many years in this work and labor of love, and we thank you for that. We want to take time and wish all of you a Merry Christmas. We trust it'll be a joyful time for you. We realize that throughout the year, sometimes we lose loved ones and things like that, and maybe this Christmas will be a little different, or maybe it's hard for some people. But I want to give you a word of encouragement. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then if you're saved, you don't have to sorrow as those which have no hope. You know, they say this is a joyful time of the year, but it can also be a lonely time of the year for those whose loved one is gone on. But I do want to say this. Thank God you'll get there the same day they did. There's only one day over there, and so we're just a few steps behind those loved ones. And I don't know why I'm saying that. I feel like maybe somebody needs that. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in the commercial side of this thing, and it's a lot of hoopla and a lot of joy and things like that just going on. But really the meaning of all of this is God's gift to man. And he fixed it all. He took care of it, and I'm grateful for that. He done more than that. But anyway, I'm very thankful, so grateful, and just want to give you a word of encouragement that it's going to be all right. The Lord's got it. But I do appreciate you. I want to ask you to write us this week, if you would. Write us to Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing to you.
Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, then I'm going to read a few verses in John chapter 19. I'm going to read John chapter 3 and verse 16 before I read over there in Matthew. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now let me go on. I want to read that verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. That's pretty good business right there, ain't it?
Amen.
I'm going to read to you over here in Matthew chapter 2 about his arrival. But what I want to say is he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save.
Amen.
And that's a pretty good gift.
Yeah.
Now, you say, "Well, I don't need that gift." Yeah, you need that gift more than anything. If you never get anything else, you need the salvation of the Lord. Whether you realize it yet or not, you're born into this flesh and into this world a sinner, dying, headed to hell. But he came that you may have life. He came to give a gift. Now, it's the Christmas season, so I want to talk to you about the birth of Christ and this gift a little bit. The Bible said, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And I'm going to stop reading right there, but I thought about that verse over there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. It said something like this, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I thought about that to say, why'd you read that for? Because I want to talk about the gift. See, this is the way we do this. We go out. You may go out to the mall or the Pinnacle or the Walmart or where Amazon or wherever, and you may buy a gift and you wrap that gift, but you're the only one that knows what's in it. You wrap it. But the receiver doesn't know what's in that gift yet. They have to unwrap it. So I want to go over here and read just a little bit in John chapter 19. I read that because I want to show you here in just a few minutes what was wrapped up, and then I want to show it to you again after it was unwrapped. The Bible said in verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate told him to go put this up. They didn't do it right. Pilate said, take it down, and you put up there what I said. He said, I am King of the Jews. He is the I am. That's what all through the scriptures you'll find out. I am is the one that supplied it all. But then Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, here they're going to unwrap him, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, for whose it shall be, the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he saith, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I want to look at this for just a few minutes. First of all, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 2 and look at, as I read over there in John chapter 3, how that God gave us His Son. Then in Luke chapter 2, we find out that Mary wrapped the Son of God in swaddling clothes. I mean, my God, He is wrapped up, and I'm glad that He was wrapped. I'm glad that God sent His gift. Mary wrapped the gift of God. But I want to talk to you about what was wrapped here. Now, some say there's some things that we ought to do, but I want to say this. They was already done. The Bible said in verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" I hear them say all the time, "You need to make him king." I want to say this, he was born King of the Jews. I mean, they say, "Yeah, well, you've got to make him king of your life." No, when he was born over there in Bethlehem of Judea, he was born in that little place where a manger, there wasn't no room found in the inn. He was already king. You don't make him nothing. He come as king. The problem is they've never seen him unwrapped. They never seen what God was given. He was already king. He didn't come to become anything. He was already king. He wasn't going to be created anything during 33 and a half years after he got here on earth that he wasn't already, thank God. When he come, he was already the authority. He was already the I am. He was already the creator. He just come to be revealed to you and be revealed to me. And then the Bible said this, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good, ain't it? He was born king, but now Christ, the anointed one, the one sent from God. You get gifts from this one or that one, or, you know, mama gives you something, or daddy gives you something, or aunt, uncle, friendship, grandmother, grandfather. But this one, Christ, is being given to you by the Father, thank God. I mean, it's where Christ, where are you going to get him? He's already Christ. He didn't come to be anointed. He come because he was anointed.
Yeah.
He is the anointing.
Yes, sir.
I mean, but people can't see that because he's never been unwrapped yet.
Yeah.
There's a place here. He walked with them for 33 and a half years. And you know the question that comes up when he goes before Pilate and Herod each time is this: where is he that says he is the Christ? Bring Jesus who said he is the Christ. They heard of it, but they'd never seen it. I want to show you the three things that's written here. Actually, there's four. The Bible said, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor." He didn't come to take over. He was already in charge.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, ain't that good? He didn't come to become governor. He was already in charge. Everything already listened to him. The only problem that he ever had was out of the devil and mankind. Yeah, man, I'll say this. He already governs the heavens. He already tells the moon and the stars and the sun and all creation. Lord God, he already governs everything. They said, "We'll make him chief in charge. We'll make him, he's already governor. We'll give him authority. He come with authority." I mean, when you gonna rule this kingdom? I'm already ruling this kingdom. I'm not from this, he told them that. I'm not from here, or I would rule here. But I'm from another land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He didn't come to take over here. He come to take you out of here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. But see, he was wrapped up, and they could not see this. But there's a day coming. There's a day down the road coming. Thank God, after 33 and a half years walking, wrapped up and clothed in this flesh, and nobody could really get the clarity of it. But one day they took him into Pilate's hall, and he's going to be judged. And they took him before Herod, and Herod desired to see him, and he's going to be judged. And he was judged. Judged by them. Taken to an old rugged cross. But on his way, they stripped him naked. They unwrapped him. Just like a baby tears in. I read that. They ripped his garments off of him. You know, you take a little gift or whatever it is. And it's funny. I like watching, especially first Christmases with a baby. Mom and daddy, they're all excited. They've got something that baby don't even have a clue what it is. But they've wrapped it up real nice and real, and they want them to tear into it. And they just sit there and let mommy help you. And let daddy help you. You know, they don't even know what they're opening up. That's the way we are. I mean, he had to put them before an evil crowd and say, help him open this up. Help him to see here. And they parted his garments, and he cast lot for his clothing. They stripped him naked to reveal everything. There's a scripture over there. Right after they parted his garments, they unwrapped him. They put him on that cross, naked, for all the world to see. Finally, they're going to see who he is. He said in verse 30, it is finished. Well, this is the beginning of the revelation. That word there, tetelestai, that word has three different meanings. One of those meanings is in a business context. And I want to say this, when he come as king, he come doing business. I mean, they wrapped him up. He is born king of the Jews. But, you know, that's what he said over there. So how do you know that? This is his words. When he went into the temple at 12 years old to teach, and his mom and dad had left town, or his mom and Joseph had left town, and couldn't find him, they come back. And they kind of scolded him a little bit, you know. He said, know you not that I was about my father's business? I like it. See, this word tetelestai, one of the meanings, there's a business transaction taking place. When he left, let me explain that to you. It means that in its context, the ancients would give a receipt. The ancients, they'd give a receipt for a literal debt that had been paid in full. Now, here's the king, and he come on business. And what he's saying here, he said there's a literal debt. You know what was revealed on the cross of Calvary? That your sin debt. Yeah. And the debt that I owed. And the debt that every sinner owed. Yeah. I mean, the transaction has been paid for. And been paid for in full, thank God. Amen. Now let me say this. That don't mean nothing to a pauper. But when the king is the one owed, and the king said, I've forgiven that debt. I mean, this debt is taken care of. It makes no difference what anybody else says. The one that is owed is paid in full. And he said, it's finished, thank God. Amen. That's the problem Herod had, because he's going to take money out of his pocket. But this king had no desire for your money. All he wanted was you, thank God. Amen. He said, I mean, I'm going to come and be king of the Jews. Amen. You ain't going to make me that. I'm already that. Amen. Then I want to say this, another meaning of it. It has a judicial context. And that's where he said he is Christ. Amen. You say, why does that have the judicial context? Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Christ. Amen. See, I mean, there's a judicial context to this thing. It took the anointed one to pay this. Nobody else could do this. nobody else could take care of this. It had to be somebody special. It had to be that lamb that was without spot, without blemish. That's what the Bible said over in 1 Peter. He said, we're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the lamb without blemish and without spot. It had to be that anointed one, thank God. So there's a judicial context, and this is what that means. This is the other meaning of that word, tetelestai. A judicial context in court when a particular sentence, listen, is fully served. Time accomplished. I mean, you've been held in bondage long enough. Let me say this. If you was to go over here to the Blountville jail and tell that crowd over there, time served, and open the doors, every one of them would leave. My God, let me say something to you this morning. Jesus came as the anointed one of God. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And this is what he's saying to everybody on the face of the earth that has breath in them. Time has been served. You're free to go, thank God. This is the gift of God.
Amen.
You're free. If the Son make you free, you're free indeed.
Amen.
Amen. There's a third context of this. This word finished, tetelestai. There's a military context. That's the governor. See, he didn't come to become governor. He is governor. The military context of this is a battle has been won. Now, this has not been revealed. How is God going to take care of what happened in the garden? Since the garden, there's been enmity between man and God. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to get into all this. But this morning I went up the road and I was arguing with God about doing something. I done it. But I still, should I? Am I the only one? Really, should I do that? What are they going to think? What difference does it matter if God told you to do it? And I pulled in the parking lot. And I thought the only regret that I have is not doing it when God puts it on your heart. But what I'm saying is there's always that struggle. I mean, the flesh is enmity with God. And you're carrying it around. And it ain't saved. It's sorry. It is. I told you the devil will jump on you when you're weak. I sat over there for 3 days and I just argued with the devil. Instead of reading my Bible, instead of praying, we just argued for 3 days. And then finally, the Lord come by. But what I'm saying is this. I mean, there's a battle. There's a struggle. But I thought about that. There's a military context. A battle has been won. And a victory has been given. I mean, Here's where it's revealed. It's never, how is God going to take care of this thing that took place in the garden? Mankind has never been the same. And then a few thousand years down the road, God sends his gift as the governor. And he wraps him up, swaddling clothes. Lets him live down here for 33 and a half years. Sends him to an old cross called Calvary. Place called Calvary. And there's a battle took place there. And you say, actually it started a little bit earlier than that. I'll say this, even in the flesh, Jesus had those same issues. In the garden, he cried out, Father, if there be any other way.
Yeah.
But I like this. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He easily, or I won't say easily, but he surrendered to the will of God. That's something you can't count on me to do every time. And I don't count on you to do it every time. But Jesus done it every time. And he went back again and he prayed again. 3 times he went back and he said, if there be any other way. He said, nevertheless, not my will. You realize the bulls of Bashan would compass the battle. You realize the battle that's taking place there, if you'll go back and read Psalms chapter 22. I mean, the battle that he was facing, the hell that he was facing. But you know, he didn't just win it just by laying down his life. No, he won it by fulfilling the will of God. Whatever God wanted. He's the only one that's ever done that. The victory's been won. And then, this is what he done. He imputed his righteousness to you. Ain't that something? The Gospels, as you know, each one of these have a different account, a little different account of the crucifixion. Well, each experience that they had, I like that. I don't mean the Word of God is wrong. It complements. They said something over here in John chapter 3, a little bit later as Jesus starts his, I mean Matthew chapter 3, as he starts his earthly ministry. The Bible said in verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That's the thing that was finally revealed. And after all of this takes place over here, after everything's finished, and after we found out that it's unwrapped. He is King. Amen. And he's unwrapped and he is Christ. And he's unwrapped and he is governor. They finally get over here in verse 54, Matthew chapter 27. The earth is quaked. The graves are open. The resurrection. The holy city, they appeared. And this is what they said in verse 54, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now they see it. This is him. And these things are revealed. Pilate said, I want you to write this. He saith, I am King of the Jews. He was born that way. They denied him the whole time, but he said, no, you put that up there. Victory's won. That's not revealed till later, after the resurrection. Said, you take him, you put all the guards out there and seal him up. They couldn't seal it. Third day he come out. But it still wasn't revealed that he was the Christ. He that confesses Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5:1, I believe. Well, that birth didn't take place till 50 days after the resurrection, when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter got up and said, this is the Christ. This is the one that you crucified. Oh, it was revealed to him. I think about this just a little bit, and I can't prove this by no scripture. It may be in there, but I can't find it. I wonder where Saul was at the crucifixion. But I know where he was in Acts chapter 7 when they, after the Holy Ghost had fell, and Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and preaching that Jesus was the Christ, and Saul held the garments and consented unto his death. And he's preaching that Jesus is the Christ and you killed the Son of God and you crucified him. And it ain't long till those folks, there's some new birth taking place. Yeah. And every time this new birth takes place, there's somebody else saying, he's the Christ. Yeah. It ain't long, just maybe 3 chapters down the road. Saul's going down the road there, the road to Damascus, Lord God. And here the Christ shows up.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.